Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. I want to thank you for joining us because we have a special guest back with us today. A good friend of our ministry is back, and I know you'll be getting a lot of information that'll just bless your socks off today. So get your notepad out, get your ink pen ready, because these interviews go fast. And it seems like we just get started and time's up anytime we talk with John Meacham. John Meacham serves Christ Church as a Christian author, a lay pastor, supply preacher, elder, workshop leader, small group coordinator, Bible study instructor, Sunday school teacher, you name it, he's done it. And as part of his church work, John also developed a small group program titled AIM and involved membership and prepared a group study guide for the book Is Your Church Heavenly? A Question from Christ for Every Christian, which was published in 2008. John also spent 8 days at the Sea of Galilee in 2005. During this time, he received a new revelation from Christ that involved messages that spoke of the state of the seven churches in today's modern time. We did an extensive interview series with John on that, and you can go to the archives and look that up as well. Now, you need to check out all of the information he has over on his website at dazzlinglight.com because it is just chock full of important stuff, and some of which we're going to highlight today. So help me welcome back to the program my good friend, John Meacham. John, how you been, brother?
I've been good. It's good to talk to you again. I mean, this is kind of a reminder to me about, you know, I was going to say as Americans, but I'm not sure it's Americans. I'm not sure it's just as humans. As humans, we look at time in a linear fashion. Yeah. In other words, time's going along a straight line, but it's really not. Mm-hmm. When we look at how time is designed, we realize time's a circle, and we keep coming around to the same points over and over again. Sure enough, last December, what were you and I doing? We were doing these very same interviews a year ago, almost a year ago to the day, and we were talking about a lot of the same stuff that's happening in the world of Christianity around us. I think one of the big things that we always need to focus on and make sure we somehow include in our discussion this time of the year is the celebration of, really, it's not even Jesus' birth anymore. It's the secular holiday of Christmas, because that's what's going on now. And when we wonder, well, if it's not Jesus' birth, you know, I've got all that stuff out there on my website. It's actually dazzlinglight.org. I've got all that stuff out there about Jesus was born 919-03 B.C. And the reason, though, the reason it's now, and you and I have had this discussion, was because of a Roman emperor. His name was Constantine, and back in the year 336 A.D., he changed the Roman holiday of Saturnalia, which was basically a drunken orgy, celebrated this time of the year. They did Saturnalia because they did it right after the days started getting longer. He changed that celebration to a celebration of Jesus' birth. For a wonderful reason, he wanted to improve the morality of the Roman people. And so that's why we're still, and the Catholic Church some years later accepted that. They then actually celebrate the Christ Mass at this time of the year. If you go to some Catholic websites, though, you realize they say it wasn't in December. It was probably in September. Most of the folks that I look at that have done proper research, you know, mine came in a dream, that is probably September. But again, we're at that time of the year where the days are getting shorter, and then all of a sudden the shortest day will come, and then the cycle will begin again into new year. Yep. Now, I don't know if you've thought about this much, but I was born, not born again, but born in 1951. So I grew up in the 50s and the 60s, and in the 70s I was still growing, going to college and getting married and stuff like that. And the year 2020 was just not something I would have imagined.
Right. Amen.
But can you imagine in just a few short weeks, we will be in the year 2020. Now, you ask what I'm doing, and I think as you and I have talked about, my biggest role in life right now, for certainly for 2019, has been that I'm John, the apostle from the Bible, and I'm preparing the way for Jesus' second coming. I've been doing a lot of work with that on social media, with emails, with interviews and stuff like that. And right now, I'm trying to focus on interviews. I'm doing this one show out of Dallas, Texas called God Talk. I want to do more interviews with you because we really connect well, and and I feel we have a spiritual kinship.
Amen.
And I have some basic premises about John the Apostle from the Bible, and the first one being, I am John the Apostle from the Bible, and I was born again on 10/24/82.
Okay. Amen. And what else have you been doing this past year since we talked last that, as far as the outreach of your message?
Oh my gosh. I do Twitter. I did do Twitter until the other day. I do Twitter, and on Twitter, they encourage you to use a picture. So I use this one picture, and I think you've seen it. It's three panels. The panel on the far left is the picture of the image from the shroud, and then the panel in the middle and the right-hand side, as you're looking at the picture, are faces that were computer enhanced from the shroud. And you know, the minute you see it, you think, oh my gosh, that's Jesus. I mean, we don't know if it's the way Jesus looked or not. I'd have to tell you, in my dreams and in the times I've remembered him, the memories I have of Jesus, the one on the far right is quite similar to what I see in my dreams when I have them of him, and what I remember of him face to face when I was with him back in the day. But across the eyes in the picture, I have the word Advent written. And then across the forehead is the date he was born, Jesus the Christ, born 9/19/03 B.C. And then across his mouth at the bottom is the words, Jesus the Christ, returning 9/19/22. And then I have words of the second coming that I put out there. I have words from John the Apostle that I put out there. And I would say in the year 2019, that picture and my words about Jesus' second coming were probably seen around 1 million to 1.5 million times. So I'm out there trying to tell the world, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be real honest with you, Bob. Nobody really wants to hear that.
Yep.
I got banished the other day. I think it was Saturday. I had been tweeting all day Saturday, and I usually don't have to do it on Saturday, but I was doing it Saturday, and when I left from what I was doing, it your tweets actually end up being delivered even after you've stopped giving them, and by the time the end of the day was over, 30,000 people had seen the messages I was sending about the second coming.
Amen.
When I signed on Sunday, they said I had been banished from Twitter. I think the reason is there's a big, not a big group, but there's a significant group of people who, if you put a date out there, because of the date in a passage in Matthew where that says that no one knows the date, they just go crazy. I mean, and I can understand it. I think they have a significant biblical reference, but they, you know, all they can think of is, we need to get this false prophet off of here. We don't need him to disturb people. But you know, when you worry about the date, Bob, you've got to realize that the first person that got everybody worried about the date was probably the most outstanding, maybe even the most extraordinary Christian there ever was, and that was Paul. I mean, he got everybody all worked up about the date. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Because he knew, as I know, that if you focus on the day Jesus is coming is soon, you will always be forced to look at your own behavior as a Christian, and particularly the church, as a Christian church, and ask yourself, as it asks at my website, the website dazzlinglight.org. It's all it is about Jesus' second coming. Ask the question, are you ready?
That's it. That's
and Bob, not only are people not ready, I'm not even sure they hear the bell ringing. I was trying to hear the bell, and I just ring the bell, and I kept ringing the bell over and over and over and over, and I just don't think anybody heard it. You know, in addition to the Twitter, I send emails every day. I do interviews, and I've done lots of other things too, but I'm going to be real honest with you. The reason I've called and wanted to get back in line in your interviews, and I appreciate them so much, is I need to reiterate with myself and with the Christian public that I am John the Apostle from the Bible, and I am the sign that Jesus is on the near horizon. I mean, that's what this is all about. When you go to the passage where Jesus, you know, tells Peter that John's going to be here when I come, that means that if John's here and he legitimately says he's here and is halfway believable, then all of us as Christians have to be alerted to the fact that, well, maybe Jesus is coming soon. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, there's going to be a date. You know, there will be a date. We know there will be a date. So why not focus on, you know, is he coming back today? Am I ready today? You know, someone may die before the end of this broadcast they're listening to today. So they will see Jesus today. Why worry about 2-3 years down the road when some people aren't even going to make it that far? We need to focus on, you know, are you ready right now?
Are you? Have you listened to any of, been able to listen to any of my YouTubes?
Not lately, no.
Okay, well, I was just, to get ready for our interview today, I was playing my YouTubes, going through my website, just, you know, kind of get all of that in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I came to one of the YouTubes. It wasn't the last one. I was kind of going to go through all of them. But the last line in this little sermonette I do on each of the YouTubes said, are you ready to meet Jesus face to face right now?
Yep, amen. That's what it
and,
almost
and,
sounds
you know, that, and I just stopped. I said, I have to carry that thought into my discussion with Bob. Are you ready to meet Jesus face to face? And, you know, the passage I wanted us to talk about today is in that getting ready. You and I have talked extensively about how people are not ready spiritually.
Right.
And the beginning of the spiritual process starts when we're born again. Now, I actually remember the night that Nicodemus came to see Jesus. It was, you know, it was in the evening. He really, you know, Nicodemus was a very well-known and influential and rich Pharisee who really didn't want to risk all of that, but he knew that there was something about Jesus. So he didn't want to come inside the house. He and Jesus stood outside on the porch, and it was evening, and, you know, it was in the summer, and it was warm, and the light from the house shone out onto the porch, but we could hear him talking. He really didn't want us to see him, and he didn't want to associate with us because, you know, we were just fishermen and tax collectors and people like that. But when he came there, you know, it was so impressive how he was coming with this line of physical questioning where Jesus was giving him spiritual answers. And if you don't mind, I'd like to read the passage in the Bible where all this happens. It's John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. So there was a Jewish leader named Nicodemus who belonged to the party of the Pharisees. One night he went to Jesus and said to him, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher sent by God. No one could perform the miracles you were doing unless God were with him. Jesus answered, I am telling you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. Or can a grown man be born again? Nicodemus asked. He certainly can't enter his mother's womb and be born a second time. I am telling you the truth. Jesus replied that no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. A person is born physically of human parents, but is born spiritually of the Spirit. Do not be surprised because I tell you that you must all be born again.
Amen.
The wind blows wherever it wishes. You hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. It is like that with everyone who is born of the Spirit.
Amen. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
Yes, sir.
I was waiting for you to continue.
Well, what I wanted to share with you is, as John, the one who wrote this passage, the one who heard the exchange from Jesus, when I was born again, it happened exactly like in the passage. In other words, when I was born again, I was at a time in my life then, my physical life. Remember, I was born October 22nd, 1951. Now, this is 2 days later in the year 1982. I'm 31 years old, turned 31 on the 22nd. I'm going to be honest with you, Bob. My life was out of control. I had a wife and two kids. I had a mortgage. I had car payments. I had a job. I was trying to get ahead and just going in 1,000 different directions, 1,000,000 miles an hour, and hitting brick walls everywhere I turned.
Yep. Amen.
So the morning of the 24th, I actually think it was a Thursday, I went in to take my morning shower, get ready to go to work, and I literally fell to the floor, curled up in a fetal position, and started crying. And I said, God, I give up. Please, please, please help me. And so as I lay there in a fetal position and the water was flowing over me, the Holy Spirit entered in, and I was born again.
Amen.
Now, I had never read this passage before. It was only after the fact that I learned about this passage. But what happened to me not far after that, just right after that, within days, you know, my life changed, and you and I have talked about this. This is actually, there's a page on my website, dazzlinglight.org, about these divine revelations. And on that page, it will tell you that the very next morning, what I started doing, and I still do today, is having a period of meditation, Bible study, and prayer, daily devotions every morning. Today it lasted almost 3 hours.
Yeah. Amen.
To get ready for the day, to let God enter in. And the first passage, one of the very first passages within days that the Holy Spirit led me to was John chapter 21, the end of the Gospel of John. Now, what's happening in this chapter is, as the story is unfolding, the Holy Spirit is letting me know that this is what you were a part of. Now, I want to make sure you understand that this is happening in 1982.
Mm-hmm.
I never even told anybody that I was John the Apostle until 2016. So this was like, it took 34 years for the Holy Spirit to instruct me well enough to give me the courage to even tell anyone. So, I mean, this is happening in 1982. And I realized, one, it's the story of when the seven of us actually went out fishing on Lake Tiberias, which is commonly referred to as the Sea of Galilee. The interesting thing about the story is it only lists five of the names. The two names that weren't listed were Andrew and Matthew. Now, Andrew was he and Peter were both fishermen brothers, as is my older brother James and I. We were fishermen brothers, and he was great on the fishing boat, but Matthew was a tax collector, and he was no good at all.
Amen.
But, Bob, we were all terrified. Because we had come back to Galilee from Jerusalem after the crucifixion and the resurrection. All the Jewish leaders were after us. We were scared that the Romans would come after us too. So everything was on edge. And we're out in that fishing boat. And an interesting aside, when I went to Galilee, like you talked about, in 2005 on the last day, and actually I thought Jesus was going to return this day also. It was January 25th, 2005, I had my picture taken in front of the Jesus boat in one of the local museums. Now, the Jesus boat was actually discovered by two Jewish fishermen in 1986 when the water had gone down to such a low level, they saw this boat. And so they had archaeological crews dig it out and everything, and it's really kind of cool. But one thing that I remembered from that, and then remembering and seeing the boat, they're real small.
Oh yeah.
So they have seven of us in this little boat, and interesting, the boat that they pulled from the Galilee was actually had, get this, 12 types of wood that made up the boat. So again, hey, there's messages here, and amen. And my picture that I use in all of my website and everything, it's from the Jesus boat at Galilee, trying to reveal that there's something different here. You know, something's going on. So, you know, the story unfolds, and we see Jesus on the shoreline. Now, this is probably, of all my memories going back to that era, this is the strongest memory I have, is seeing Jesus standing on the shoreline, fixing us a breakfast of bread and fish. Now, I don't know if you've been to Galilee, but where he's standing is right there at the rock at Mensa Christi. There's this rock that goes up onto the shore, and they built a church. I believe it's called Peter's Privacy over the rock. It's not too far from the earth and stone stage where I've been and where I went all the time then, and seen in my dream as the site of the second coming. But he's standing there in his white robe, and I often wonder when he returns, is he going to want me to take him to Tiberias and buy him some clothes? Because in all my dreams, all my memories of him, he's always got this white robe on with the belt around the waist. Amen. But he's standing there, and he has fixed us a breakfast of bread and fish. Now, when I first read this back in 1982, and even since then, I thought, bread and fish, that really, who would eat that for breakfast? But when I went to Galilee in 2005 to find the earth and stone stage and to write the book about the seven messages to the seven churches, the current application of it, I was the only person staying at this little motel. And it's interesting, you know, the visions I get, the little motel actually came to me. The Lord sent me two series of numbers. And I looked at these numbers and said, this doesn't make sense at all. And so I keyed them in as a computer, and all of a sudden I realized this is latitude and longitude, and right there at where they intersected was this little motel called the Ola Manor.
Cool.
Well, I stayed there when I was at my stay, and the deal I had was a meal, you know, a room with breakfast and dinner each day. Well, guess what they served me for breakfast every morning?
No way. Fish and bread?
Bread and fish every day. Every day they served me bread and fish. And, you know, I said, oh, my gosh. I said, this is just too much.
Yeah. Amen.
But, you know, as this story unfolds, we get into the conversation between Peter and Jesus. And, you know, when you study Scripture, and particularly when I remember the time back then, Jesus is always calling Peter to a higher level, more than any of us. Now, I think when I remember the apostles and when people study them, we all need to realize that these are ordinary people. I'm an ordinary person being called to extraordinary circumstances. Peter was the most ordinary, not to say he was plain or simple, but he was the most ordinary called to the most extraordinary circumstances.
Amen.
He had to start the church. He had to get everything going. But as a person, he wasn't quite there yet. You know, when we look at people and who they are and what they're called to do, sometimes ordinary people have to do extraordinary tasks. I saw a wonderful show this last July 4th about the founders of this nation, John Adams and Thomas mm-hmm. Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
And it was primarily about John Adams. Well, I realized John Adams was an ordinary person called to an extraordinary task.
Yeah.
And it was interesting, after they'd done the Declaration and he'd been president and everything, he goes back home to his farm and he builds a rock wall around one of the vacant fields. I said, how ordinary is that? But now Jefferson, that's a whole nother case. He was an extraordinary person.
Hey everyone, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time with today's portion of the interview with John Meacham. Now, John has a unique message that he has been sharing with us. I've had him on several times in the past, and we just hit it off talking about the return of Jesus. I mean, this is, other than the first time Jesus came to this earth, the second coming is going to be absolutely fabulous. You do not want to be on the wrong side of eternity when that happens. Amen. So you need to come back tomorrow because we're really just starting to get into the meat of the interview right now. And we'll be continuing this discussion for a few more episodes down the line. But folks, the most important thing you can understand is the Bible is 100% accurate. Everything in there has come to pass. Everything it says shall come to pass will come to pass, including the return of Jesus. Now, whether or not you believe it's going to happen, you know, today, tomorrow, or next year, or 10 years from now, does not matter, because everything is lining up where it can happen even before I reach the end of this episode and say, be blessed in all that you do. So you need to come back tomorrow and listen to some more of this interview. Remember, Jesus is Lord, and you need to be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.